You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show was broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're joined by a bunch of people behind the movie Apocalypse Rising. We're joined by producers Ruben Estemira and Gregory P. Wolk, who also wrote the movie. We're joined by director Rico Lowry. We're happy to welcome back actress Joanna Ray and the awesome Shane Samples. If you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. Open chat room where you can interact with the guests. Also, head over to thedorkening.com to check out all the other shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network. We have some awesome shows. People put a lot of work into these shows, so go check them out. Secret Underground Hideout, The Dorkening, Ultimate Video Game Show, of course, Wicked Horror Show, and The Dork Physique. Plus, some upcoming episodes of Apocalypse Now? So go subscribe, leave comments, leave reviews. It would help us out quite a bit. You know what else helps us out? Deadly Grounds Coffee. Go to deadlygroundscoffee.com. Order a bag of awesomeness for your mouth hole. So many great flavors. And if you don't like flavored coffee, their standard roasts are just phenomenal. Not bitter, just great stuff. Deadlygroundscoffee.com. But, you know, before you do that, enjoy the show.
Everybody introduce themselves, starting with your group, Gregory. Who do you have on camera?
I'm Gregory Wolk and
Ruben Estemira.
We're the executive producers on the film, and I'm also the writer. And Joanna, you want to introduce you and your partner there?
Hello, I'm Joanna Ray, and I play Bassette in the film Apocalypse Rising. And next to me is
Rico Lowry, and I'm the director.
We've had Joanna on multiple times for multiple other movies, and she's awesome, and we're glad to have you back. And
thank you.
Besides, you know, another like big part of this movie, we have Shane. Shane, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Shane Samples from San Antonio, Texas, and I play the role of Mac in Apocalypse Rising.
And you're pretty badass in this movie. It's pretty intimidating. I was just like, God damn, that's a big dude. And I was like, are those tattoos real? And then I saw some, like, are you a horror fan, I take it?
A what?
A horror fan?
Yeah.
Because I saw some tattoos. I'm like, all right, I recognize that. So that's good. So, yeah, this movie was it's different. I mean, I really liked it, though. It's got a mixture of, like, everything. It's, like, sci-fi and zombies and fornication mixed in with a little Jesus.
Procreate. So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. A procreation. That's right. I forgot the words. That's why I said fornication. Sorry, guys. But it's the same thing, right?
A lot of testosterone on set.
Oh, yeah. It was a really, like, I didn't know what to expect at first. You know, I thought it was just going to be a sci-fi, you know, like thriller or something. And there's a lot of humor in it, too, which I thought was good, too. Like, it kind of peppers in a lot of humor and some over-the-top gore at times. And, so what's the, how did this whole thing come to be? So you guys are the producers, and Rico, you directed it. Gregory, you wrote it as well?
Yes, I wrote the novel called The Dead Site, and then we decided to try to adapt it into a film. I mean, it was really should be a million-dollar plus film with all the set pieces, but I've not been happy with a lot of the movies I've been seeing, from Hollywood. Of course, the mega busters are great. They do those well. But then there's not a lot in between. And I said, but then when you see something like The Lone Ranger and you figure, oh, they spent $100 million or $200 million on that, why? How, we could have had 1,000 indie films or something, and some of those would have been great. So I said, let's try to make, you know, like a big budget movie for an indie low budget price. And that's what Rico and I really had to work on to try to do. It took a year or two and planning to see if we could accomplish that. But I think we really did well at that. I mean, critics talk about some of the set pieces aren't perfect or the effect. But if you look at what it costs to do, I think I'm pretty proud that we got it done. So basically that's how it came to be. And I wanted to do a zombie film because my friend Ruben, that's his favorite genre. And if he watches Romero's Night of the Living Dead one more time. I mean, I've probably seen it on 1,000 times now. And I wanted to get to like zombies. I never really liked them that much before. So to me, it was a challenge. I dove into the pool, and I wanted to see if I could understand what made them tick. And I have to admit, I really love them now. And I wrote another, I actually have already written a sequel to this. If we ever do it, if this does well enough, we'll film that with the same characters. Because I think they're cool. I mean, there's so much analogy and symbolism about humankind. And I think that's really, for me, why I interwove religion into it. Because, just the dead and raising from the dead and all this kind of stuff. It's so religious. And,
yeah, definitely. But there's a lot about it that I know it's a lower budget movie, but like I'm always amazed at like when some of these movies can pull off what they do. I mean, yeah, there's some things that maybe aren't perfect, but I always say that adds to the charm. But I really thought a lot of the CG, especially in the beginning with the space scenes, I thought it looked great. Some of the blood was, some of the CG blood maybe could have been a little different, but it's still like there's a good mixture of that and like practical stuff. Yeah. So I think the practical, like even if it was all CG, it would have been like, oh geez, but with the practical mixed in there, I think it works.
Yeah. It's a great combination of all that's happening in the film. So it's a real fun film to watch for people that have an interest in sci-fi or horror or zombies or Jesus or sex. I mean, it's all there. So it makes for a fun film.
You're not going to be bored. If anyone's bored watching this, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah. And the sex part of it too, it's like, it's graphic, but it's not. Like there's no nudity or anything like that. So it's still watchable. I mean, obviously if you're you don't want your 5-year-old kid like popping it in and being like, they're going to have a lot of questions, but, but it's still very watchable. And like that, there's like the humor that's peppered in as well. I think it keeps it lighthearted, keeps it moving. In general, like I'm not a giant sci-fi guy. So like, I was glad to see that went a different direction. And I like the mixture of the sci-fi with the zombies and, it wasn't overkill on the zombies either. And I thought the practical on the zombies looked really good as well. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I think there should be a shout out here for Kelly Brown. Kelly Brown played Shira, the villainess, and I thought she was awesome in that role. She had never acted before, but she also supervised all of the gore effects at the same time, and she built the blood pump so we could have that blood flying out like a geyser.
Yeah,
and so she did both of those, and hats off to her for that.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I was thinking the same thing. Was going to bring her up, and I think Rico, you helped a lot too with because I know you're big on using as many practical effects as possible, which is something I really enjoy. That I'm tired of so much CG. I mean, no, it seems to be the direction where everything's going, but. Maybe it's just my age. I like seeing practical effects. We put some of them in there. We found a Ukrainian firm that was reasonable. I mean, I don't know that there's any CG firm in the States anymore that's reasonable. Maybe you guys know somebody. I would like to keep the work in the States as much as possible, but the quotes we got were 10 times as high. Yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is I've seen some movies that, I mean, I don't know what the budget was, but I've seen some movies that maybe even like a higher budget that I didn't, some of the CG, the visual effects didn't sell as well as it did in this. But then again, too, they weren't, it wasn't really like the space stuff. It didn't really, it didn't look bad. Sometimes things look flat and whatever. I was impressed. I was like, all right, this is more than I was expecting. So yeah, it was good.
It also should be noted that the big Jerusalem set we shot in was built for the Jack Black film Year One that Harold Ramis directed. This is back in the early 2000s, and that set was still standing. So that it was a tremendous opportunity for us to utilize that set, and that brought a lot of production value to the film. So we, I guess we should let people know we didn't have that set built for the film.
But
yeah, they tore it down right after our movie. They tore it down, so we were the last ones to use it.
That's cool.
Oh.
And speaking of Shia, she's actually in the chat room right now, says supporting my crew from work. India Jones here. and actually, we do have the trailer, and we want to remind everybody that Apocalypse Rising is out now on VOD and physical media. If you check the links down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us, you're going to find a ton of links there. Including where to watch it on Amazon, Vimeo, Fandango, a bunch of places wherever you get your VOD movies. And who would like to introduce the trailer? Joanne.
Okay, everyone, check out our sci-fi horror fantasy comedy. Awesome. Got everything going. Trailer, Apocalypse Rising. Here we go.
Okay.
The dead are preparing to rise. That is why I brought you here.
All you have to do is get people to stop hurting and killing each other. Then they can focus on stopping this. A war has begun.
Okay, and there we go. That is the trailer for Apocalypse Rising. And we have a bunch of people in Facebook. Let me see if I can pull that up.
While you're pulling that up,
Corey Buckingham.
While you're pulling that up, though, I wanted to touch base with Shane and Joanna, maybe have them talk about their characters a bit. Like I said at the beginning, Shane's character is a little intimidating at first. The big dude. And you know, in looking at your IMDb, I don't know if you've done much else, but there was like only one other credit that I saw for acting. So, are you fairly new to acting?
I took my time with it. I stayed focused on other things, and then when I got my agent and really started pushing myself into it, things have just been taking off since. It's been smooth sailing. Everything's kind of, the dots are connecting themselves. I had to get my shit together in a place where I was willing to step out there. I'm very introverted, and I really haven't been big on social media and stuff like that. So acting was a huge leap for me. It's always something that I wanted to do. It's definitely been my true heart's desire, but I had to ease my way into it. And I finally hit that age where I was like, look, I'm about to be in my prime, and it's time to start making some moves. So
nice. Well, I thought you were awesome in the movie. Character was great. Yeah. And it's, you know, again, like the action parts and like the comedic parts, everything just worked really well. So do you want to maybe talk about your character a little bit?
Sure. It was a lot of fun for me. It was easy to be because I didn't have to be myself. You know, I had to put on this persona that was kind of a parallel to who I already am. And I really enjoyed that. On the side of my face, I have Alpha and I have Apex. And I know it wasn't a coincidence that that's what I was playing in this movie. They wanted a character that was larger than life. They wanted a character that was very aggressive, very alpha, very stoic, slash also very kind and humble. And it was very interesting to try to combine all those elements. And also, you know, I'm from fucking Planet Wraith, and I'm covered in all these tattoos and walking around in my underwear the whole time and eaten up by mosquitoes. And it was a lot of fun. And but as far as the Wraithian aspect, I felt like I was like the, not only the warrior, but I was kind of the protector. I was kind of like the guy that you turn to when, you know, like kids do when they, you know, somebody messes with them, they call their big brother, you know, their uncle. And And I felt like I was that for our crew. You know what I mean? Like anytime anything happened, it was automatically assumed like that big guy better pull his fucking weight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I'm walking around with this axe the whole time and just like mean mugging zombies the whole time and like looking for shit. But then again, I'm not because I'm trying to be humble. And it was just, it was a lot of fun. And then also they threw in the sex element on top of the, you know, religion and the monotheistic whatever. And so it was very, it was very unique to be horny, to be comedic, and then also to be a badass, you know, the whole, you know, I guess they wanted an Arnold thing. I tried to get as big and massy as I could with the little bit of time that I had. So I did look a little bit sloppy, but as far as size went, after watching the movie, I felt like a fucking ogre. You know what I mean? Standing next to him, I looked like the tree that had grown for many years, and everybody else was kind of in their you know, post-seed stages. And it was just really funny, towering everybody and walking around with my long hair. You know, and then I got blown up about, you know, Tarzan and like, okay. You know, it was, and then the axe, you know, this big foam axe. It was hilarious. And, you know, and then like there was parts where I had to be really serious. Like I had to be really, like, really kill this person. And it was really hard sometimes. You know what I mean? When I'm squeezing that dude's skull in, I was really hoping it was going to be like a Game of Thrones, collapse the skull, brain. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Instead, I had like wax on my thumbs. I really wanted, I mean, no offense to homeboy, but I really did want to crush his skull. Because you know, it felt really easy and soft. You know, it felt like a baby's head, and I it breaks a little bit. You know what I mean? So.
So one thing that guy can put on his resume now, my head feels like a baby's head. It's like a selling point. Like we're looking for a guy whose head feels like a baby's head.
There's a few comments on Facebook.
Yep. Billy Baird says, Shane has the build and look to beat a new Scorpion King. Casey Buckingham says, Shane, you did play you. Anthony Thurber says hello. And Billy Baird says, Jonah Ray, what other horror movies have you been in or are you going to be in?
She's been on a bunch.
I know. We've had you on a bunch of times. Starting with All Through the House. Which...
To the Dorkinite.
That's right, yeah. So, Joanna, do you want to talk about your character a bit?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I play Bassette in the film. My character, I'm a Wraithian. We are from Planet Wraith. We are aliens, basically. So I'm a very silent, strong type. There is a few moments in the film where I break character of that and do some very... there's a fun scene in the film where... Shane was the entire main cast in this scene. And as far as the warrior type, I'm an athlete. I ran college track. I played basketball. So I've always been an athlete. And I really wanted to do this film for that aspect alone, because a lot of the films that have been horror films, but I'm like the screen queen, the girlfriend or something. So this was really fun to embrace like a warrior type character. I had like the long, dark hair. In fact, right before I filmed it, I am a natural brunette. I had lightened my hair. And Rika's like, hey, there's this role that we need to fill, and you would be great for the role. I talked to producers. They liked your look. And I was like, well, I'm not a brunette right now. And he's like, what are you? I'm like, I'm kind of blonde. He's like, send me a picture. I did. He's like, no, you got to go brunette. I went to the store, bought some box dye, dyed it black. And that really helped the character, because that's who she is. She's very mysterious. She's with her crew. They're there on a mission. And that's her main goal, is to accomplish that mission. Things don't really phase her that much. In fact, the scene that I'm referring to, if you've seen the film, is very... It's a good scene for a while, and it's very different. And that was probably the most interesting part of filming, besides killing. The zombie kills were really fun. So we got to all, and everyone, the main cast was all athletes, so we all got to like really embrace that moment. And I think everyone really enjoyed the zombie kills on the set. But the scene that I did, that Rico actually at the last minute, he's like, you know what, this scene is really long, but we need to add another element to keep this scene moving. So
jump in here? We had this lab scene that was a lot of dialogue, and I said, I've got to do something to make this a little more interesting, to spice it up. And I didn't tell them I was planning to do this until the day of.
The day of.
I said, say your lines exactly as they're written, but you guys are having sex while you're doing it. And they looked at me and said, what? I said, great, just do it.
Yes. So that, as far as an actress, that was a very challenging moment. And it was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And the camera's right there in front of me. And then I have everyone else. And when we would stop, I just saw everyone's face just like.
But
I was very
good comp timing. So it plays more for humor than it does for, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But even still, though, during that scene, I was just like, ah, how uncomfortable was this to do? Like, I'm just like, I'm sure you got it all cool together, but still, like, how long did that take? Where, like, how many takes was that? And
it was like 3 hours, bro. 3 hours. What? She was bent over.
Things off to the side, looking at me like, dude, this is ridiculous.
I just laughed the whole time because it was in the background. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
What's going on?
Hear it in the background, yeah.
And then my partner and my Reiki partner in the, he was like very like, he had his like, he was really playing it up too. It was really I had a hard time straight face, to be honest. It was challenging that very moment. And then I think the other thing that was like very challenging about the entire thing is you had a very big group of people. We shot for 17 days. So by the time, usually when you're on a short time like that, you're shooting, you're taking your time at the beginning of the film. But then when it comes to the end of the film, everyone's like, we got one shot. So there was like, we were out there and then we had to like, just really like, push the limit on getting, in fact, we shot like 3 days and 1 day on the last day of shooting because they needed to leave and the weather went from like 100 degrees to 30 degrees that night. So we were in, if anyone has seen the film, we are very dressed. We're from Wraith. We're scantily clad, but we don't care because we embrace our like who we are. We're not like, you know, we're not worried about what people are thinking. So we're in these little clothes and it's 30, 40 degrees outside and we're freezing. And we shot from like, we got on set at 5 p.m. and shot till 5 a.m. And the crew was there before us and after. But we were there for 10 to 12 hours straight shooting, trying to cram. Cramming in 2 days worth of shooting in 1 day.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
well, it paid off. I mean, it's a, you know, there's a good movie to show for it, you know?
And one day when we do the second one, Greg, I was thinking the prequel should be the making of this film.
Just have like that whole lab scene, but in real time. So like 3 hours, just a 3 hour loop. There's people checking their watches and everything. Like, you serious, dude? Like, come on.
Shane walking up with a baby copperhead on the end of a knife he found on the ground where we were shooting, and everyone freaked out because he did not want to get bitten by a baby copperhead.
Right, and I think for me, as far as my scene, our lead actress, Hunter Parker, is underage, and she at this time had just turned 13. She's 15 now, but she was so professional as far as like being on set. But for me, that was like a very awkward thing too. Some of that scene in the lab, because she's the main, she's our main character, and Shane, Ray Magnum, is the brother to her, and she's leading our group. And it was like, I was sitting here looking, and like she probably was she was so professional. So hats off, she did a great job.
Yeah,
so Hunter's our lead, and she was underage. So that was like very interesting. We had a big set, and 80-90% of everyone was over or like of age, but there was a few actresses and actors on there that were underage and they did such a great job.
That must have been tough with the time constraints, because you're saying that you worked like really long days, so obviously she wouldn't have been able to do that if she was underage, right?
Oh no, well, she had her mother was there, so okay.
I didn't know if there was any kind of specific rules if you were a certain age where you can only work this many hours.
Twin, like in Aliens, they would switch out.
Oh, yeah.
We were breaking all kinds of rules.
Yeah. That's the thing about independent films. Is like, there's a different, like, a set of rules for a different, you know, going on.
You can have, like, 8 hour sex scenes and it's totally cool.
Yeah, yeah. So we haven't heard from the other guys about the movie either. So,
well, actually, one thing I was going to bring up is if you're recording for that long a time, you have to be running on something. How about like Deadly Grounds coffee?
Oh, jeez.
You're
a joke.
Our show is sponsored by Deadly Grounds coffee. I'm drinking pumpkin, of course. I absolutely love it. But if you love what's that, Tony?
He called you a white girl. Is what he called you. He's drinking pumpkin spice.
Okay, Deadly Grounds coffee, absolutely love it. The pumpkin spice is back in stock, so you can order online right now. So Gark should be able to get his bag shortly. And, you know, it's just really great tasting coffee. It's not overly caffeinated. It just has just the right amount of caffeine, but it's easily the best tasting coffee you'll ever have. But don't listen to me about it. Here's a zombie talking about Deadly Grounds coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly. Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
Okay, there we go. Deadly Grounds coffee. I'm sure Kevin was mocking me throughout.
No, I was actually telling the Michael Perret story because I thought that that was funny. Where he's like, "What the hell are you doing? Like, what the hell are you talking about?" Anyways, we haven't heard from Wolfie or Tony or Leo about the movie. I just pretty much haven't shut my mouth about it. So, why don't you guys? I know. Well, Wolfie, you had him on the sit down. So, but yeah. Still, let the people that are watching live now. What are your thoughts?
I liked it. I thought it had a very, I tried to say this earlier, I thought it had a very Roger Corman feel to it when they were talking about trying to make a major movie on an indie budget, you know, and that's what Corman did his entire life, you know, and he's still doing it at 90 some years old, you know, and again, I mean, I think we all like the same scene, you know, the lab scene, but besides that, I think all the acting was spot on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Shane, I wouldn't want to run into this guy into a bar. I wouldn't want to run into him in a bar.
Unless he's like, "Hey, man, what's up?" And like, that's the only way that you would want to run into him. Yeah, yeah.
You look at him
like,
and you're
like,
"Okay,
he's
like,
I'm out."
So he bench presses like small block Chevys, you know, for good luck, for fun, you know. I got a 350 over here, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that the actress that was the lead was that young. That's crazy. I thought she was just young looking, like a lot of actresses, you know. I was like, "Oh yeah, we got a 20-year-old that looks 15, you know."
She's extremely intelligent too. Very smart girl, Hunter Parker.
Yeah, she did an awesome job. I mean, for being that young.
Except for the sword pirouette, I asked.
Yeah. I must say
they should ask you to do it, Shane.
When Kevin was talking about like sci-fi movies. I'm not the biggest sci-fi either fan either. But to tell you the truth, it had a mismatch of a little bit of everything, and which these guys know I'm a, you know, I like horror comedies, and just having a little bit of everything. Me, when I watch movies, I kind of try to pull different movies from it, like if it reminds me of, and it had like four or five different movies from four or five different genres that I'm like, this kind of reminds me of this, and that kind of reminds me of that. And I mean, just there's so many scenes in this that had me laughing out loud. And I'm usually with comedies, I'm usually not the one to laugh, you know, but there was a few in this. I was like, I don't know if I was laughing because it was
camp
more, but there was a few scenes I was just like, wow, this is definitely interesting.
There's a callback too. Like there was that one scene where a guy turned into a zombie.
Oh, yeah. Halfway through that something. Part two.
And then he comes back later and I'm like, oh, he still has it. That's awesome.
Let's just say he has to hold it with two hands.
Yeah.
I definitely enjoyed this one a lot.
Nice.
Thanks. You mentioned about the various types of movies where it reminds you of. That's sort of my thing, and also a fault, at least other distributors have told me. Hey, Gregory, why can't you make a movie that's just in one genre? Why do you have to have comedy and horror and all this stuff? So I just tell them that, I mean, nobody lives life in one genre. Every day we have something that's funny, something that's romantic, something that's scary. I mean, how can you just, I know, but we have to know where to put it on the VOD you know, on Netflix or wherever. So it is kind of a, it makes it difficult to say, where should we put this movie? I mean, not horror, comedy, sci-fi. We got to choose one. Which one's it going to be? So that's sort of the, because I like a lot of cross-genre movies, and most of my scripts are like that. And the next film that Rico and I just finished filming is sort of like this too. But it's a challenge from the marketing side of it.
Well, then I'll be watching a lot more of your movies then. I like the mixing of everything, because it's like sometimes it's cool to have one, but if you can get a little bit of everything, it just makes the movie flow that much better. So yeah. I'm definitely checking out a lot more of your stuff then.
That's good to hear that. Thank you, because I haven't heard that from anyone who's supposedly in the industry before you, so that's good.
Well, I buy these movies behind me because I have my own style, and definitely it's.
I think it's kind of crazy that they want you to stick to, like, you're able to cross multiple genres. I think that's a selling point. Like why not put them in, like, if you have to, like, why do you have to pick one genre to list it on Netflix or something? Like, why can't it be in all of them? Yeah, more chance of someone seeing it that way.
That might be the way that Netflix is set up, though. You might just have the choice to just pick
if I click on horror, I'm going to see something that I'm going to see in comedy. Like,
well,
you know,
when you list, I'm talking about when you list it. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you list it.
Secondary, and I don't know how the metric, how it works, but
yeah.
One can be primary and then one secondary.
Yeah. But no. So Wolfie, like, you'll see some of the same titles under different categories in Netflix.
No, I know what you're saying.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's a selling point. Like I said, like I think that would be more, you'd be more apt to get views if someone's like, I'm not going to be a strict horror guy, but then they're like, oh, I like sci-fi, and it's showing up in sci-fi or showing up in comedy. You know, they may be more apt to, you know, more apt to see it. You know,
is that something you think more in the indie field? Because when you start getting these multi-million-dollar films like The Arrival, where that's sci-fi, there's not really any comedy or. It's just all sci-fi all throughout. So, and I see that with some of these very expensive movies. So is that supposed to be like where we go when we have a lot of money? I hope not.
I hope not too. I mean, the most memorable movies are the ones that, you know, are different, you know, and the fact that you're mixing so many different genres together, I think, you know, that'll make this movie stick out in my mind, you know?
Oh yeah.
I agree with you though. When you get to the bigger budget stuff, it does seem to like they don't want to go that route. But then again, there's a lot of bad bigger budget stuff. Like all the heart and everything that I see is
so bland. And I think the market is oversaturated with bland content. And I think it's because people don't want to take chances. But that was the appeal of the screenplay when I read it. When I read it the first time, I said I have no idea how I would make this movie. It's a fusion of so many different things. It all clashes. And I thought, but wait a minute, you know, there's nothing like this out there. And I would be interested in seeing something that's different. Because every scene, you never know what's going to happen next. There's nothing predictable about this movie. It'll just throw something crazy at you. And it keeps you interested. Because you're like, well, if they're going that far with that scene, what is coming up next? Yeah.
Like, literally, you know, if you look down for too long, you know, something's going on, you look down, you look up, and there's Jesus on the cross. And he's like,
exactly.
Like, huh? How did that happen? Like, I have to go back a second to figure out how they just got there. Yeah.
That was the appeal to me to make it, because I thought, you know, I'm bored with so much of everything that's out there. This is, to me, it's interesting and fresh. Felt fresh.
Yeah, definitely. Leo, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, you guys definitely touched on a lot, but, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, the medieval style type of movies, the Conan type, and, you know, the story in this movie was awesome, you know, taking a different, you know, religious aspect and flipping it a bit, and then adding in a touch of sci-fi. Shane, you need to, like, seriously do more movies like this. I need to see you as like a, you know, like Anthony said, you know, the next Scorpion King or something like that. You know, everybody just did an amazing job, and it's an original story, you know. It's just a lot of fun, and you know, just something I really enjoyed.
Nice.
Yeah, but in all fairness, Leo, I mean, as big and as massive as Shane is, you can't just, you know, pigeonhole them saying, hey, we need you to put you in the Swords and Sandals movies. I mean, He needs more than that.
Oh, no, well, I can see him doing a lot. But he's really good at that as well. But I could see him being like, but here's the one bad thing, I guess, about your size. And I think it's funny, too, that Wolfie made fun of you. Well, not made fun, but pointed out that you're, lifting cars and stuff like that. When he's, the guy in the best shape in the room right now. And you just, we have no room to pick up. I know.
I'm not picking on him. I'm just
I'm just joking. I'm just saying, giving him crap. I'm like, look at all of us. We're piles of garbage. Anyways, I'm kidding. But, no, I mean, with your size and, your build and everything, I'm wondering if you're going to be, kind of pigeonholed into, the bad guy.
You mean, being typecast? That's what my agent is afraid of, too. And then I have this massive scar down my face, and I'm blind in my eye now. So I'm probably going to be typecast as a villain. So...
You weren't the hero,
or just a guy that turns his shit around like I did.
So a warrior or whatever. No.
Yeah. Yes. And the thing is it's such bullshit. When you all the auditions now and they no tattoos, no this, no that. We're in 2018. I mean, we have massive blue people and aliens and people with damn tentacles coming out of their foreheads. We have makeup to do anything. So there's really not any limitations as to what role I can play. It's just a matter of whether they find me worthy and worth it. So
yeah.
I believe
that's
all
about this film too. Everyone had a different look. Every main cast had a different look and they were all put together and it worked so well. So that was a really cool, for Greg to have such an interesting script like that, because it is this is 2018, but we had you said you didn't even know the main lead was at 13 at the time, but everyone had their own look and we came together and it really works.
And we should also shout out Victoria Steadman, who played Thora. Again, someone with limited acting experience, and she just took the role and just went with it. I mean, she really, really blew us all away.
Glenn, I don't know if I told you this, but I originally was, we had two couples, two men and two women, and I had envisioned you to be Shane's partner, but the other producer said no. He wanted to flip it the other way. So, okay, well, for better or worse.
But yeah, all the characters are very cool. We're hoping that we get to do the second one and you can see us all dressed in our character for Comic-Con. That would be really dope.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. You were talking about people's different looks and you talked about your hair being dark. It took me a second to be able to pick you out. In the first scene where I saw you, I was like, yeah, well, because they were in the cockpit and it was three different people. And I was like, is that her? Is that her? I'm like, I don't remember having dark hair. I'm like, she must have changed her hair. And then I was like, oh, yeah, there she is.
We got her on. We had on when she had dark hair.
I know, but yeah. And other times when she didn't have dark hair.
I'm afraid if I change my hair color, I won't be recognizable either.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
The cockpit they're sitting in their spaceship was actually a multi-million-dollar flight simulator, military helicopter.
It was really cool.
And we got access to shoot in there. And it was just, it again added so much production value to have that kind of set, which we did not build. It's a multi, that's a real multi-million dollar simulator.
Yeah.
Wow.
So was there in the design of the space shuttle, was there any meaning behind the design? So I'm just like, at first I didn't know if it was going to be any comedy at all. And I'm like, that kind of looks like something with testicles.
I came up with the idea of it, and I suggested it to Greg, and I had my my model builder do a design, and Greg right away thought that was a great idea, So
they were leaving the planet, and the Procreate was the first order was what was chain directive alpha, was to procreate when they got there. So what better symbol was that the penis is trying to find a place to procreate? Yeah.
And it harkens back. Flesh Gordon, that was kind of not the Flesh Gordon.
I was honestly waiting for everyone to come out of the top when it landed.
Shoot out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
When I saw that, I'm like, I think I'm in for, like, you know, when I'm just like, I'm pretty sure that this is on purpose. Yeah. I'm like, hopefully it is. Because if not, I'm like, oh, hopefully, then, you know, if it wasn't on purpose, I was like, oh. But then the movie ended up being humorous and it kind of paid off. Yeah.
But if there's a problem in a spaceship, don't they, isn't that how they come out? Don't they eject? Oh, eject. Sorry.
Yeah, I was hoping the plane was going to, as it came to Earth, was going to find a cave to just fly around. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we're going to back up. And they're just like, you hear like beep, beep, and just backs up a little bit and goes back in.
Right.
A hole in the wall of a mountain.
Yeah.
You know? We
go back in.
A lot of fun comments on the trailer. People making comments about the ship. And it's a lot of WTFs, you know. It's great.
They should just watch the movie then and calm down.
Speaking of watching the movie, for those of you just tuning in, we want to let you know that if you check the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching it, Apocalypse Rising is available now on VOD and DVD. If you check the show notes, you can find it on Amazon, Xbox, Vudu, Vimeo, tons of places, iTunes. Links down below or up above. Also, if you like sci-fi and medieval stuff, you can pick up the book, The Dead Site. We have the link for Gregory's book there as well. So if you like reading this type of stuff as well, everything's right there for you to check it out.
Yes.
It's on Blu-ray, so that's going to be added to my collection.
That's actually, that's why I wasn't talking, because I was looking it up on Amazon as we speak. It's the bad thing about having a computer in front of you the whole day. But anyways... Yeah. So you said that there's a possibility, or that you guys are in talks of a sequel?
Yes, I've already written it, and we've come up with some ways, Rico and I, of bringing the entire cast back, because some people didn't make it to the end of this film. And I've also have a prequel that I've halfway through. So if the sequel does well, I think it's always good to do a sequel, then the prequel. Is that the order that they're doing it? You can't go from here. Okay, all right. I want to conform to Hollywood.
That's what's great about sci-fi is there's like no limits of what you can do. So you never know where it can go. And I think that's what's really awesome too about the sci-fi horror, but the sci-fi genre in particular, and then add in the horror and the comedy and the like everything else in it, it's like going to be pretty awesome.
The prequel would be interesting because it would probably almost all be in space. Well,
yeah, and most of them would be great. It would show what happened on the planet Wraith before they left in the spaceship. Because at least in the book, there was kind of a big chunk of the story was their life on Wraith. All you guys, how you were fighting for survival and so forth. And then you were it just came down to, I wanted to film that, but it came down to budget. We couldn't add 10 or 15 more minutes of all that. And we just said, we're going to start with them leaving the planet. You know, some small scenes, but... So, you know, once you write something, it's hard to just kind of throw it away. You want to see it come to life. So it's going to get made sometime.
I actually prefer getting thrown right into the movie.
Yeah, rather was the than, thing.
I mean, it's like the movie starts. It's like, okay, boom, I'm in for a ride. Instead of here's the build up. Now I'm in for a ride. I want to jump on and just go, you know?
Good.
So.
And see. But this one, it definitely works.
It works really well with this one. I agree.
I like too? I'm totally off topic about slow burns or whatever. It's just me, but I like the slow moving zombies. I'm not a fast run like I like the slow moving.
I do too. Yeah.
Right. Those are
scarier to me for some reason.
I'm terrified of the I Am Legend / quarantine type zombies. The ones that are athletic, agile, and intelligent, that freaks me the fuck out.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no getting away from them.
Because the slow moving zombies, I'm like, okay, poking the head, mouse, you know, axe. Yeah. You know, I'm all good. But you know, when they start getting track running.
I always love that attitude where people are like, you know, slow moving zombies, just walk up and knock them over and walk away. But there's usually like a horde of like about 30 of them, and you're trying to avoid them all.
That's
the thing. You know, one zombie is not scary, but, 100 of them are.
I would love to take on 100 slow-moving zombies.
Oh, yeah.
If I had to take on 100 slow-moving zombies, there would then be 101 slow-moving zombies, because I would not survive.
You kill five. Like, okay,
I'd be like, all right, guys, you win. I'm terrified. Here you go. Start here. Yeah.
So what do you like? Just talking about. Is it just nostalgic? Is that why you like the slow moving ones? Or
I think it's slow.
Most people seem to like the virus ones, the 28 days later.
Yes and no. I mean,
but they're not zombies.
Sometimes it's impressive. You know, like World War Z, like when they were like making like the wave of zombies. I thought that was pretty impressive looking. You know? Yeah, but it's also terrifying. Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to go back to the classics too, like Night of the Living Dead, and you can, you know, you get that feel, that slow motion feel to it, but and that black and white look as well, it just makes it creepy.
And
I like how this movie, our movie, incorporated a little bit of that, but with color, of course. But yeah, it's nice to have that classic feel brought into something that's relatively new, fresh, but still bring classic into it. So it is nice to have that slow motion to it.
Yeah.
Okay, Ruben, so you were in a way the inspiration for there being zombies in this movie, and you're the zombie, you're a big zombie fan. What is, I don't want to ask what your favorite zombie movie is, but what are the zombie movies that you look forward to watching over and over again?
Oh gosh, there's so many, but one that sticks out in my mind right now is like Dawn of the Dead, one of the remakes that was made like 10 years back. Which has some fast moving zombies into it, but it's got a lot of gore into it. So I like gory movies, and it has a lot of realistic feel to it, and all that biting and ripping flesh. So that's one movie that sticks out. So a lot of the Night of the Living Dead, you know, there's like Dawn of the Dead and Return of the Living Dead, and you know, and so forth. It just goes on. But those are some of the movies that I've always love, and I still to this day watch them all the time. If it's something that's, you know, that's been, you know, that's on, I'll just watch it. I've probably seen it 100 times, but it's just great to watch these kind of movies.
Yeah, I think World War Z, you've had that on hundreds of times, especially the beginning part. You like that part where they're on the street and it's all backed up, which I find that so scary too, like the beginning of the miniseries of The Stand, when they can't go in the tunnel, they're all backed up. To me, that's being, you have no escape, and then they're coming. That's always scary.
Yeah.
You like watching that beginning part.
Yeah, I do. I like that a lot. I mean, I'm a Walking Dead fan, so I anything that has fangs and biting and ripping flesh is what I like. So if it's not zombies, it's vampires. But it's got to be really gory.
What about Lucio Fulci's zombie?
Who?
Lucio Fulci's zombie.
Oh, that's you're talking about that classic, that old film.
Yeah, that old film.
But it's so good. I've watched that a few times, and it's eerie, and I like that eerie feel to it because it's done in black and white too, and it has that a lot of light to it. But it's, you know, it's just very eerie, and I like movies like that as well.
Okay, I just curious. I mean, he said that, you know, he's one that was into the zombies and whatnot. I love it. I'm in a zombie. I love a zombie film. Vampires, dude, the best, more not modern day, but 90s vampire film for me were Subspecies from.
Oh, that's a great one, yeah.
Ted Nicolero.
Oh yeah. You know? Well, yeah, Fright Night is one of my favorite ones. That was done back in the 90s. That's a good vampire movie.
Yep.
But Radu is the creepiest vampire ever, dude.
I agree.
So I know you guys touched on a little bit. Well, you said that, Greg, I believe you and Rico, you have another movie that's in the works. Is that already done, or are you guys just starting that?
It's in post-production. It's the same two executive producers, Ruben and I, working with Rico, and this time Rico and I co-wrote the screenplay. It's going to be out actually in a month. for now. It's pretty quick. Without giving away too much, the main thing is it's a parody of the original Halloween, and we wanted to target that with the new Halloween coming out.
Oh, nice.
So that's Enrico, since he lives there, he knows all the Halloween locations, and you got us many of them. We filmed at some of the same locations.
That's awesome. What's that one called?
It's called President Evil. You know, not Resident Evil, but President Evil.
Okay.
As you can imagine, there might be some current day satire related to the current president.
Does the Michael Myers character have like a big red like quad? Okay,
I'll give it away. But, you're really on to something there.
All right, cool.
The mask is orange instead of white.
Anyways, let's stop talking about it. We don't want to guess too much.
Yeah. My lawyers are already saying I might need to. They already said take our mailing address, home address off the IMDb, which we did because we're prepared for the attack of the cult members.
Oh yeah, whatever. People are ridiculous. But anyways, yeah. I'll check that out. I'll check that out when it comes out. Definitely. Now, what about Joanna and Shane? What do you guys have in the works? I know Shane, you said things have been kind of moving along forward for you pretty well. I know Joanna's been pretty consistent. I follow you on Instagram, so I always see you're busy.
Well, she said on Sit-Down that she's doing it. She's working with Sandy again.
I actually made an appearance in President Evil with director Rico, and Greg is the writer too. I play a cool character in the opening scene, so I don't want to give it away, but she's a good one. And then I'm actually working with Rico on an action film called High Alert. We will start that back up next month because they are currently busy with the film President Evil. And then I'll be working with Sandy too, and vampires, maybe the vampires are kind of in it, so you guys will be interested in that film too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shane, what do you got going on?
Well, the past 10 years, I've been really trying to build my physique into this. I've always wanted to be bigger, stronger, faster than, per se, Arnold, The Rock, Batista, John Cena. I've always been really big into action drama thrillers. You know, I love movies like by Antoine Fuqua or Drive, Faster, movies like that, Equalizer. And so I wanted to create my template or platform as a person to be this larger than life character that fits the role. And so that's what I've been focused on is building a dream physique. And, you know, my agent and the roles and all that, you know, that's not really an issue. It's really just a matter of me finding something that I want to do. And like I did with Apocalypse Rising, I felt like it was very suiting. I don't do the whole extras thing or the random role thing. Like I have to, it's a mutual thing for me. Like I'm going to do what I want to do, you know? And, so in the meantime, I've just been doing a lot of local modeling and commercial stuff like that. So I'm just waiting for the right role, really.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely keep our eyes open. Was that Wolfie?
I was going to say, you know who I'd like to see him go off against? Big Man against Big Man? Shane against Dolph Lundgren.
I'd whoop his fucking ass.
I don't know.
I think you would. I think Shane would win.
I've been fighting my whole life, and now I'm straight laced, and I'm a good guy, and I don't get in no more trouble. But I still have all that awesome experience. So
nice.
I'm just talking in a movie of some kind, you know. Where
I don't know. I don't want you to hurt him.
I would definitely act like I was hurting him.
He would act like he's being hurt. So that's we'll definitely keep our eyes open because I think you killed it in this one. I think thought you were great, and I'm shocked when I saw like how few IMDb credits you had. I was like, what? I mean, I know sometimes IMDb is not right, but still, right. You know,
I had to get to a place where I started, and so it's just been an ascension since. I wasn't available before that, but I am now.
And nice. I just want to make note of one thing. You mentioned, you know, having issues with the tattoos finding a part. Ruby Rose was just cast as Batwoman. So it's, you know, and she has all those tattoos as well. So it's...
they're not sure if they're going to... I was reading that they're not sure whether or not they're talking about having to cover them all up. So
It's doable, though. I mean, they have makeup that can do it. They can do it digitally, whatever. I mean, depending on the project. But, you know, like, I remember seeing, like, a magazine article years ago with Kat Von D, where she covered up all of her tattoos.
Yeah, I have that. I remember that.
Yeah, it's, like, unrecognizable. Like, you can't even tell one bit.
That's what it boils down to. It's a matter of, do they want you for this role? Are they willing to do their part? Because it's not about me. And I've had so many auditions the past 6 months where they're like, you know, oh, your tattoos. Like, get the fuck. No, it's not because of that. It's, I'm not what you're looking for. Just be direct. It's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. That's for sure.
Right.
You know, because like when I auditioned for Apocalypse Rising, I literally sent like a 30-second clip and they were like, you're the one. We want you. Let's do this. And I was like, you don't even. You want to do a background check first? You want to? They're like, you're Magnum. You're a Magnum. I was like, okay, where do I go? Where do I go? And it was funny because there was a small guy on set that apparently like was really upset because he wanted to be Magnum, and I just thought it was really funny.
You're like, you're record, Magnum, really? No record. You know the definition of Magnum is, right? All right, cool. Let's get this done. All right. Anyways, so yeah, we're at the 10 o'clock hour.
We are. I just want to say you guys all did an awesome job on the movie. We all loved it. And we want to urge you to check the movie out if you want to watch it either on VOD or on DVD or Blu-ray. It's out right now. So check the links down below or up above. You'll find a ton of links there to find out more about all our awesome guests and where to watch this movie. And we'll kick it off with Shane. Actually, we talked about earlier, where do you like people following you? On social media?
I prefer Facebook, IMDb, reviews, credits, stuff like that. Other than that, I try to stay off the radar a little bit, but I can handle Facebook. So that's good for me. That's a good start for me. That's my agent's bare minimum.
Awesome. Okay. And Rico and Joanna, where do you like people following you?
I am on Instagram under JoannaRay21. I'm on Twitter, TheJoannaRay, Facebook, and Snapchat. And everyone, go get the Blu-ray. And I'm trying to figure out, I have people that have asked me for a signed Blu-ray, so I'm still trying to figure out the best way to do that. So Apocalypse Rising is currently ready for Blu-ray, so check it out, everyone. And thank you all. And one more thing, Sandy Chuckadarian is who we're referring to. And I will be in President Evil, Greg and Rico's next film. So check that out, too.
Awesome. And Rico?
Just on Facebook under Rico Lowry.
Okay. And Gregory.
On Facebook, Gregory Wolk on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And we have a Apocalypse Rising movie page.
And same here, Ruben Estamara on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
You can find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, on Twitter, on Horimino, and on the Stardust app. And then you can find me on Tony's Movies on Instagram, where I show off the movies behind me, and of course here on The Dorkening.
You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dorkening, Tuesday in Wicked Horror Show, doing the horror one with Kev. When we're done, I'll be doing the Wicked Horror reviews. And check out my latest review up that I just put up, the sit down with Nicole Sinaglia today. So check that out. Kev.
Nicole on Twitter and Instagram, every Sunday in The Dorkening, Tuesday Wicked Horror Show, doing stuff with Wolfie. And the most recent episode of Secret Underground Hideout just came out, the 50th episode, and I'm one of the guests on that show, so go check that out. And Leo.
Yeah, I started listening to that today. I haven't gotten to the knee highs and the pumpkin spice stuff yet. So.
All right. It's there.
Definitely we do this multiple times a week. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern is our Dorkening Roundtable discussion. Every Tuesday is our Wicked Horror Show at 9 p.m. Eastern. And every other Thursday, we do the Ultimate Video Game Show. Also, check out a couple other shows on our network, A Dork Physique, and also Secret Underground Hideout. I want to thank you all for joining us today, and have a good night. Bye.
Go buy Apocalypse Rising. $13 and some change on Amazon.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.